Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Open your Bibles, please. I've got about 16 different places to go, so open it to one of those, please. Lord, help us today. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And we just thank you for allowing us to be together today. You know, I want to just start with Genesis 12. And again, I want to encourage you to be here Saturday night. I tell you, make it a special on your calendar to be here. Clear your calendar. If you've got an appointment, unless it's just an extremely important appointment, cancel it. Remake it for another time and be here Saturday night to join us as we pray for Israel. And for those of you struggling in your finances, I tell you, you start praying for Israel, God says, I'll prosper you. You pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He said, those who love Jerusalem, I'm going to prosper. So I tell you what, there's a key to prosperity if you love the people of God. Well, in Genesis chapter 12, I want to just go to verse 2. And it says this, I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. Would you say that? The Lord will bless me with an abundant increase of favors. The Lord will bless me with an abundant increase of favors. The Lord will bless me with an abundant increase of favors. Say it again. The Lord will bless me with an abundant increase of favors. The Lord will bless me with an abundant increase of favors. The Lord will bless me with an abundant increase of favors. You know, friends, have you ever, like, well, you're getting ready for a test, and you know this certain teacher or professor gives things, so you need to remember a lot of just odd facts and figures, and so you say them over and 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 over until finally you can say them over and over and over, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I mean, you just do that until you can do it. You need to say this verse over. The Lord will bless me with an abundant increase of favors. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you had to ask a friend, a good friend even, for a favor? And, you know, so you did and there wasn't anything about it. But then you came up to a situation where you needed to ask again. And then you needed to ask again. And at some point, what happens? You start feeling like you can't ask anymore. Because you feel like, well, the Lord says, I want to bless you with an abundant increase of favors. Too much. Ask again. Did I do, you know, George Mueller, you remember George Mueller? Does anybody remember George Mueller? Who doesn't remember George Mueller? Okay. Good. Well, that's okay. That's a fair question. I only know him because I read about his life. I didn't meet him personally. Yeah. George Mueller was a German, ended up in Britain. And he had orphanages. Oh, that George! Of course. We were just like, yeah, we were just like, yeah. But at any rate, in talking about how he would pray, and of course, he believed in, I mean, he had a couple thousand orphans, I thought, like that he believed for every day for provision for their lives, to the building of the buildings, to the food. And he would keep a list of the things that he was praying for, you know. And then he would mark down, and he would say, he would give the Lord thanks. When the answer came, he would give the Lord thanks and said, then I'd ask for the next thing. Dr. Savelle said we should be, the prophetic word for the year was, we need to recount the things, not forget the things the Lord has done for us, and then expect a greater year. And I think it's important. You know, I remember the first time I had the opportunity to pay off my car early. You know? And you went in there, and I can remember, I drove to Denver to do it, someplace in Denver, and I went in, I got the payoff balance, and I went down, and I paid that off, and I got out, sat in that car that was now mine. I said, Lord, thank you for letting me pay this car off early, and Lord, I want to thank you for my next car. I didn't wait until my car was falling apart. Now, I'm not operating on the level some of these guys operate on, but I tell you, there are some principles here that if you'll work them, they'll work. And what that thing is, I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors. So when God answers a prayer for you, thank Him for it, worship Him with that answer, and then ask Him for the next thing. All right. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You've heard this. If I haven't taught you, you've seen it on television. If you haven't seen it on television, you've heard somebody teach it in your Christian life. The word in Greek is it continuous. It means continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. And there's something about a tenacity of someone praying who will not let go. Like that little lady there in Luke chapter 18. If I can get my book, finish getting my book proofed, you'll read about it. It's another one of my books, but it's on the chapter called Dharna. It's a Hindu word, a Hindi word. And it's a form of protest. And that's what this little gal's doing. And that's what they do. They still do it today, although they do it with crazy things. She went to the judge. The judge said, I'm convinced he was waiting for her to pay a bribe. But it wouldn't have made any difference how much she gave him. Her enemy had a lot more money. The judge was unjust. He took bribes. I won't say anything more about that. Okay. I could get in trouble today. So, she says, okay. So he's not going to fix my thing. So that he went home and guess where she was? Standing right there, probably with a plaque. Unjust judge won't help widows. He went her, yeah, get out of here, went in the house. Next morning, woke up, and there she is. He went to work. Got to lunch. He went out to lunch, and there she is sitting. Unjust judge won't help widows. But this time, she's got a buddy with her. Unjust judge won't help widows. This goes on and on and on. This is Dharna. I'm going to get what's mine. He's unjust. I'm going to get it. Pretty soon, this continues. The guy has no rest from this woman and everyone who's beginning to come to her aid and her side. Pretty soon, the higher judge says, hey, Freddie, what's going on? What I want to know why this woman, why everywhere I see now, there's this thing. Judge so-and-so is unjust to widows. What's going on? He finally says, you know what? I better take care of this gal. Some of you gave up praying a long time ago. You better get it back up. You better begin to pray. Now, God, He wants to release the answers to you. He's not unjust. But you, because you didn't get an answer to prayer, you quit praying. Now, I'm going to say this lovingly and compassionately, but shame on you. God wants to release to you an increase of abundant favors. But you quit asking because the devil sidetracked you, or you sidetracked yourself, or you did something foolish, or you just had a downturn in life. How many of you know downturns in life come? Well, get back up. Come on. Just get back up and let's go on with it. Amen? All right, so let's look at a couple things today in the Scripture. Turn to Psalm 50. I'm reading from King James. It's a Scofield edition Bible, so it doesn't read quite like King James, but it doesn't read quite like the new King James. So I don't know if we have a King James we can put up on the overhead, but if not, maybe King James will work. But it says this in Psalm 50, verse 23. Whosoever offereth praise glorifies him. And he that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Now, some translations today would say, he that orders his conduct or his manner of living. Is that what some of your Bibles say? I want to stop there. And that's right. We need to order our conversation, our the way of manner of living. But you know what? We need to order our conversation right. Yeah. And I like what this says. He that offereth praise glorifies me. Let's just stop right there. Have you offered God praise today? You don't need to answer me. Well, I sang. Isn't that enough? He that offereth praise glorifies me. You know, friends, praise has to be something that we offer God, not something that's driven out of us or pulled out of us or something that's forced out of us. God's looking for that one that says, Father, I worship you and I love you and I thank you for your goodness. One of the best things that's ever helped me in my prayer life is this, simply this: rather than facing those monsters sometimes, those things that rise up in your life, those things that you desperately need an answer from God to get rid of those things in your life, is just to simply begin to remember how good he's been to me. Father, thank you for the sunrise this morning that is so glorious. Oh, Lord, thank you for the rain today that's so wonderful. Oh, Father, thank you for the breeze. I mean, just those basic things. Father, thank you that I can see. Father, thank you that as you begin to be thankful, as you begin to offer him praise, you begin to glorify him. You begin to honor him. You begin to exalt him above your trouble, above your problems. I'd like us just to take a moment. I don't want to just preach at you today. I'd like you to think about whatever it is you're fighting, whatever it is you're wrestling against. Maybe a problem with parents, maybe a problem with kids, maybe a problem at school, maybe a problem at work, maybe a problem in your bank account, maybe a problem in your body. I don't know whatever that is, but why don't we just take a moment and just say, Father, thank you, and just tell him, be honest about it, but thank him for something. I don't know what it is. Father, thank you that you love me. Father, thank you that you care about me. Father, thank you that the sun came up today. Father, thank you that there is a hope for a new day. Father, thank you for my friends or my family that love me. Thank you for that one person who smiled at me today. Some of you might be really depressed and discouraged today, can't find anything. I tell you what, thank him that you've heard a message today that gives you hope. So I don't have any hope. I tell you, the message today will give you hope. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, I just want to thank you. I want to glorify you with my life, and I give you praise. Now, he says this, to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Turn with me to Job, please. Now, Job is before Psalms, so Psalms is about in the middle of the Bible. And if you'll turn to your left, and go to chapter, I think, 42 or something like that, Job makes this comment. Now, Job's had some friends who try and tell him how to live his life and why he's so messed up. Praise God for friends like that, huh? And then the Lord shows up and he kind of sets them all straight. But in verse 4, Job says this. He finally gets the chance to respond back to the Lord. And he said, man, I've been talking about things I didn't even know about. Have you ever been around somebody like that? They just yammer on about spiritual things or whatever it might be, religious things, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. But they think they do. Like this guy yesterday. I was reading this article, and I won't name names, but this guy's a billionaire. And he says he's a practicing Christian, but he's also practicing a few other things. And he's got so much money, it's gone to his head. And he's now trying to figure out a way. Now, this is serious. Are you ready? He wants to invent a cure for death. That's what he said. A cure for death. He's not from Colorado, so we know he's not. Well, he's from the San Francisco area, so he could be smoking something, but I tell you what, you can't be a practicing Christian You see, because he's got so much money, he thinks he can talk about all these things, and people think, oh, wow, he's stupid. Now, he made all this money because he was smart with some finances, but he's a stupid man. He's a fool. And there's the yammer, 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 got a cure for death. Because I've got so much money. Hey, fella, you ain't taking it with you when you go and you're going to go. So Job, he and his buddies, you know, but finally Job says, listen, I've been talking about stuff too wonderful for me. And he says, oh my, I've heard, verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. Some of you in this room even, you've heard about God all your lives, but you've never seen him. You've never seen him. And you see, when you see him, your life will change. Ephesians 1 says, Paul's praying, and he says, God, give to them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that they might see, they might know the hope of their calling. And you see, friends, at some point, revelation comes, and you need a revelation. And as that revelation comes into your life, you'll begin to see too, as you order your conversations right, as you begin to order your life, your living, but also your words right, something will begin to happen, and you'll begin to see God's salvation in your life worked out day by day. The Bible says this, Hebrews 3:1. That Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. You see, he watches over you, he listens over you, he listens to you, and your angels are listening to you, Psalm 103, verse 20. They're hearkening to the voice of his word, and his word is in your mouth, and as you begin to speak his word, this is why we make these confessions every Sunday, is we want you to take them home. Hopefully you'll find your own confessions as well. And as we unite them together and begin to be focused in our confessions and declarations, the Lord himself begins to listen. Malachi chapter, I think it's 4, says, or chapter 3 toward the end, he says, he hearkens to us. I tell you what, when you get God to listen to you, you get an answer. 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? His will. We know he, what? Hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions we've asked of him. So guys, here it is. As we begin to say what God says, he listens to us. He hearkens to us. Oh, I tell you, friends, he is such a big God, such a good God. He has this huge supply to meet our needs, waiting for us to ask. Well, let's just have a review. Should we go to Matthew? Let's just have a little review. How many of you know God cannot lie? God cannot lie. Scripture says God cannot lie. And God cannot lie because, first off, there's no darkness in him. There's no darkness in him, so he has no reason to lie. It's in his character. He wouldn't try and deceive you. He just loves you. But the reason God cannot lie is because whatever he says comes to pass. And we've joked about this and we've laughed about this. But here it is. If God said today was Tuesday, it'd be Tuesday. God cannot lie. Whatever he says comes to pass. Therefore, what he said about you is going to come to pass. That's good news, guys. That's really good news. That what he said about me is going to come to pass. That's why, this is another reason why as a pastor I want you to be in the scriptures so that you can find out what God says about you so you can believe for it. Yeah. All right, now, where'd that take you? Okay, here we go. Yeah, so Jesus says, verse 33, 12. I'm sorry, I apologize. Chapter 12, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure that he's put in brings forth evil things. But I say to you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Let's just stop a moment. Too bad we can't write in Selah, right there. Stop and think about that. What kind of words have you been speaking? You know, here's the thing. Your words are what are going to justify you. Your words will also condemn you. Your words will produce, and might I say it this way, the first words that you speak upon hearing any kind of report, good or bad, will probably be the course your life will take. If you hear a bad report from the doctor, and the first thing you do is agree with the doctor, start telling people what that doctor said, that's where you're going to go. If the first report you hear when you hear the Channel 5 news or whatever news you listen to at night, and you respond to that, that's the first thing you say, that's how your life's going to go. James tells us that. Your tongue is going to give you and give direction to the course of your life. Matter of fact, your words, as you speak, are even right now revealing what's in your heart. Listen to yourself. Matter of fact, sometimes say, Lord, show me what kind of words I'm speaking. And what will happen is you'll find out you're speaking words of unbelief. You might be speaking words of anger. You might be speaking words of disappointment. You might be speaking words of insecurity. You might be any number of things, but begin to come out of your mouth and you'll be able to discern it. You'll hear it and go, oh man, that's what I'm... And I tell you what, friends, those words will bring you to judgment. Or they'll bring you to blessing. See, if you're expecting God to bless you, you know what will happen? You'll find out that you'll step more and more into God's blessing. If you're expecting the unexpected, if you're expecting favor, if you're expecting... See, this is what happened, guys, until Riley came and we had a paradigm shift. It's hard to evangelize. I know some of you are still there. We got to have a paradigm shift. My expectation has changed. If you expect to get this virus that's going around, good for you. I don't expect to. No evil befalls me, nor plague comes near my dwelling. I mean, I do. I talk to reports that I hear. And I try and the best I can to answer with Scripture. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to serve the Lord. And I tell you what, no plague will come near my dwelling. No evil shall befall me. Our words will justify us or they'll condemn us. Now, well, let's just continue on here. Go to Romans. And I'll tell you chapter 4 right now. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Did you just see? He was promised by God to be the heir of the world. Don't you suppose if you're an heir of the world that God would have a house for you? Don't you suppose if you're the heir of the world that God would have a way to take care of you? You know, this week I was one of those internet black holes. You know what I'm talking about? One of those little things you click on and you think, oh, and then you spend 15, 20 minutes looking at this thing and you get done, you win. Well, I got sucked into the, you know, the 10 airplanes that celebrities fly. Oh, man. Poof. You know. Don't you suppose the Lord has a way to take care of you? I mean, these guys are flying airplanes that are, you know, $10, $15, $20, $30, $40, $50 million. Google's company airplane. I think it's a 757 or 777, something like that. The company plane. And then I was reading some of the comments down below, and somebody says, "Well, you left out John Travolta." So, you know what John Travolta does? Qantas, the Australian Airlines, they let him land their planes on his property because he flies those planes, and he's got a runway. You walk out his front door, and there's a Qantas airliner there. He's been known, of course, to take his wife and their girlfriends and fly to Europe in a Qantas airplane, jet. See, you know what that does to my brain? I'm sorry, but I just think that is not a whole. That's a whole. We're heirs of the world, and we're wondering about a vehicle or a car or this or that now, I know not everyone's going to walk in that realm, and I'm not saying we all should have our own jets outside our front door. I'm not saying that. But what I am trying to... But you know what? God's got it. He's got the goods to do it for everyone, anyone who'll believe or anyone who'll do what is necessary to get it done. My point is to you, though, guys, I'm not trying to rah-rah you and tell you y'all be gazillionaires. But I am telling you, God will supply your need. If you need an airplane, he'll get you an airplane. If you need a car, but I tell you what, you got to exercise something. There comes a point when you can't just sit around and go, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. It won't, honey. It won't happen just because you think, well, God will do it if he wants to. You got to apply yourself and you got to exercise your faith. Now, but it's available. So, okay, I didn't intend to stop on 13. For if they who are the of the law heirs, faith is made void. What he just said is this. We are not made heirs of God. By the way, does an heir work to get his stuff? I've told you I received an inheritance from my uncle. What an amazing thing. You know, I didn't do a thing for that. I didn't do a thing. He gave it to me. And to my sister, and to my cousin, and my cousin, and my cousin. Nice. Didn't do a thing. Well, you are heirs of the world. You're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You don't have to do a thing to get it. Can you just say, thank you? Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. See, but you got to... Yeah, well, you're talking about some money your uncle gave you. I'm talking about... You're just... Spiritual things. No. Listen. Abraham was rich in cattle and lands and gold and silver. I was at a meeting. Where was I at a meeting? I don't know, but I was in a meeting with Dr. Savelle a couple, 3 years ago, and he took us to Genesis, and it talked about the covenant God made with Abraham, and the very next chapter it said Abraham was rich. And he said, it took Abraham one chapter to get rich. How many chapters is it taking you? Okay, but it's not about just the money issue, friends, please. If we seek the kingdom first and the righteousness of God first, what comes? Everything else. What did C.S. Lewis say? If you seek secondary things first, you won't get the first things and you won't get the second things. But he said if you put the first things first, please listen to me. Well, I'll go to church when I want to. You're missing the point. Seek the kingdom first. C.S. Lewis said if you seek the first things first, you get first things and second things thrown in. I remember when I was in college learning these principles. I had to study hard. Matter of fact, once I began to, when I first went to college, life wasn't so good. I was always been an average, above average student. But when I got to college, man, there's just things happening in my life, and I wasn't doing so well. Long story. I was on probation even. With the music department. With the music department. So you know, just a number of things. But when I got over this hump and got some things prioritized in my life right, okay, that meant all my struggling over those issues and all my struggling over school issues and all my struggling in this and that, and there were issues at my house with my mom, and it was bad. But when I decided, and I was a Christian, when I decided I'm going to start serving the Lord, that meant Friday night Bible study where I was going with some friends and Sunday morning service and ministry. Our home was open. Our apartment was open. We had Bible studies. We were ministering to people. We were praying for people. And I tell you what, I mean, sometimes I had to go to bed at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, but I couldn't because I had to stay up and study. Because I was putting first things first. Now, you need to be wise with all of that. But as I began to put first things first, what happened is my grade point just shot. I mean, and this was back in the day we weren't doing semesters, we were doing quarters. Okay? I don't know how that translates to semesters. But I was taking 23 hours of credit on a quarter basis, getting a 3.9999, whatever it was. Radically transformed my grades, radically transformed my life because I was serving the Lord, putting first things first. Well, I can't come to this. I can't do that. I can't because I've got to work four jobs. Okay? Maybe your fourth job, you ought to trust God for that. Okay. I'm going to tell it to you straight. Quit the fourth job, the 5 hours that you work at that job, and get in this book for 5 hours. It will transform your life. And then when you got faith, enough faith to leave the fourth, or then you can leave the third job. Okay. Well, you know what? I want to stop there because I don't want to offend anybody. I know you need to live where your faith is. And if it takes four or five jobs, you know, I want to just stop as well. I want to thank my dad. He's not here, and I'm not doing anything silly. My dad worked 2, 3, 4 jobs to take care of my family. Worked hard. I remember he was working at the FAA where he never should have had to do anything else. There was a curse operating in our family. But I remember as a little boy, my dad used to haul trash. I remember that. And this was a day where there wasn't the
He wants you to have an aluminum can that's only about this big so those guys can pick it up. My dad, I watched him pick up 55-gallon steel drums full of people's trash and dump those things and chase those cars. He did that as a part-time job. I'm thankful for my dad's, how he took care of us. So don't get me wrong. If you got to work four jobs, work four jobs. But what I'm trying to do is get you to, God has a way for you to work and have enough left over to care for your family. He might have to give you a creative idea. He might have to give you a promotion. But he can do it if you'll dare believe him. All right, now, I want to get to my message. I'm afraid if I continue down Romans that I'm not going to get there. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, and this is going to go very, very quickly, but I want to talk to you a moment today. Matthew said earlier he hoped that you were making confessions at home, and I hope you are too. I hope that this becomes part of your life, that you'll take and write down the confessions that we have up here. You know, Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. Jesus is the high priest of the things that are already here. It's not by my sword, but by his hand, because he did a favor for us. God's going to surprise us. He's going to meet us with the blessings of goodness. I tell you, I'm just saying that more and more, and it's kind of morphed a little bit. You know, I'm using that verse, Lord, to surprise me with the blessings of goodness and put a crown of pure gold on my head. Lord, I am expecting the unexpected. I'm expecting you to surprise me with the unexpected. So Isaiah 30:18 says he longs to be gracious to me. He is thinking up ways right now to bless you. Now I want to posture myself. I've just been reading a book by John Maxwell, and he's talking about attitude. He's talking about expectation. I tell you what, guys, attitude is everything. Matter of fact, I think he coined a phrase, and if it wasn't him, somebody did, but attitude determines altitude. And it's true. And so if you begin to develop an expectation that God's going to meet you somehow, I tell you what, life will pick up. So here's a confession that you've heard us declare, and I just want to share this with you. I think this will encourage you. And this is mine. I'm not telling you that you should do this, but it's in Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is where God brings blessing to each tribe. And this... If I had one of my older Bibles, I would have actually had the date that the Lord first gave this to me. I guess I should have transferred it to this one, but I don't. When I get a word from the Lord, I typically will date it in my Bible. And I don't mean just a verse. Oh, there's a good verse, and I underline it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a verse that the Spirit of God speaks into my heart. And when he speaks a verse into your heart, it becomes, I want to grab that thing, take hold of that thing, and not let it go. And this is a verse I have declared my wife probably almost all of our married life. And I think Patty will attest to that. Will you be a witness to that, Patty? I'll testify. I can verify that. Old Jack Lemmon movie. My wife will verify that. And verse 23. Of Naphtali, satisfied with favor. And full with the blessing of the Lord. Possessing the west and the south. And you might say it this way. No, I'm just going to read it out. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be accepted to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your shoes shall be iron and bronze, and as your gates, so shall your strength be. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven to your help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of grain and wine, and also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like unto you, O people? My people saved by the Lord. The shield of your help, and who is the sword of your excellence? And your enemies shall be found liars to you, and you shall tread upon their high places. That is a word that I tell you, to me, is so rich. And I believe that probably in your lives you've got verses as well that are rich, that God would have you making declarations day by day by day. Well, you see, friends, I am satisfied with favor. Now, the word Naphtali, the tribe Naphtali, it means, the word Naphtali means wrestling. And I think of Hebrews where he said, we have to wrestle to enter into the promises or the rest of God. And there is sometimes, friends, you say, well, I'm not experiencing this. Whatever it is you're confessing, maybe these verses that we've been putting up here, and you say, I'm not experiencing it. Sometimes, friends, there's a wrestling to get into the things of God. And you know, life sometimes is just tough. And you know what? You just got to suck it up and get up early in the morning and go to work. That's just the way it is. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's something that's being developed within us. And so this wrestling to take hold of the promises of God. I want to encourage you, go on, friends. Keep wrestling. Be like Jacob. Take hold of the Lord and not let Him go until He blesses you. The fact is, Psalm 3:8 says, thy blessing is upon thy people. It's already on us. We don't need to wrestle with God. I don't need to twist His arm to get Him to bless me. You don't either. Jesus did that for Him. Us. Aren't you glad? Amen. Well, I'm satisfied with favor. That means, you know something, I don't need to con any man. I don't need to twist anybody's arm. I can shoot straight with people and say, well, if I lose their friendship, I lose their friendship. I'm satisfied with favor. Somehow God will make it work for me. I don't need to con. I don't need to do this. I don't need to manipulate. I don't need to control. I tell you what, I'm just satisfied with favor. You know what the scripture says? It says, if a man's ways please the Lord, make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Well, I'm full with the blessing of the Lord. Well, you know what? I look sometimes in my life and say, Lord, I don't think I'm very full. But the word says I'm full of the blessing of the Lord. So now I have a choice. Do I agree with God or do I agree with my circumstances? You know what, friends? You know what? I'm satisfied with favor and I am full with the blessing of the Lord. Matter of fact, If you poked me, you're going to get blessing. You're going to get blessing because I'm satisfied with favor and I'm full with the blessing of the Lord. And then it says this, you shall possess the south and the west. And I think there's some things I'm wrestling with that with the literal meaning of that. But you know what? I read over in John chapter 3 where John the Baptist is speaking and he says this, a man can receive nothing but be given him from heaven. And so when I come to that verse, the wrestling that I'm wrestling with, but I'll also say this, Father, I want nothing but what you have for me and I'm going to possess what you have for me. Yeah. Oh, what a great confession. What a great declaration. Lord, I'm going to possess all that you have for me to possess. But you see, that implies something, friends. It implies that I do something. It implies I order my conversation right. It implies that I live a righteous, godly life. He will bless the uncompromisingly righteous. That means not only do I receive my righteousness from Christ, but I live out a righteousness that is right. Are you with me? Still there? And then he says, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. And I've talked to you about this. Jesus said this. He said, you know, and this is my Father glorified, John chapter 15. He says that you bear much fruit. I tell you what, guys, we're starting to see this church bear much fruit, but we need to also get them planted in the house of the Lord. So let's just continue to believe God. Those of you who are praying and interceding, thank you so much. This is your fruit that we're seeing. But I tell you, we need to see Him now planted in the house of the Lord, blessed with children. And so I do that. I'm, of course, in the natural, I'm thankful for my boys, and I'm already praying. Before they came into Patty's in my life, we were praying for them, and now we're praying beyond our boys to their families. Yeah. Blessing those gals that are coming. Got angels out there. Hunting those girls down. I got a promise. I got it dated. When I was praying, and the Lord showed me. I thought, oh yeah, okay. There'll be three girls someplace. They're going to have an angel knock on their door. Their divine appointments are waiting. But we're already out there praying, already out there believing. Unless the Lord comes back soon, which He could.
But we're blessed with spiritual children. We're blessed with spiritual children. Guys, there is no thrill like leading someone to Christ. And I want to give you a hint. When you're praying with them, don't close your eyes. Oh, I tell you what, because sometimes it's exciting to see that transformation hit their faces. Yeah. You've seen it, haven't you? Their whole face changes. One of the last guys I prayed with, we got there and I prayed with him, and his countenance changed. You just have something go up and down your spine when that happens, because you know a supernatural transaction has taken place. We're blessed with children. I hope you're blessed with children. You know, let me say, there comes a time. Now, oh golly, I don't know how to say this quite accurately, so please bear with me. Might as well say it right up front. We love our pastor. So, you know, if you were a shepherd and you were raising sheep and goats, and those ewes, that's sheep, girl sheep, if those ewes, not ewes, but you, is that Hugh? I'm not Hugh. Are you Hugh? Okay. I am Hugh, okay. I'm sorry about these movies today. So we better watch that movie tonight. So if the ewes don't produce, you got stew. Oh, who is Stu? Okay, you. Oh man, so wow. So now I remember years ago John Coon and I were listening to a tape about pruning. And you know, guys, you know, kind of bump chest bumps and head bumps. Yeah, God's gonna prune us. And so we wanted Patty and Helen to listen to this tape. And this guy, he wasn't a pastor. I don't know what he was. And he had a good message. So we had them listen to this tape that we were all excited about. Oh, yeah, God's going to prune us. Whack and whack and chop. And they go, ooh. They just were so condemned. Ooh, God's going to just, you know, I thought, oh, thank God. As you grow, as you read John 15, you need to change that whole thinking. Because it's not whack, 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 whack. It's this. Literally, he will lift you up. Now, there is a time to be pruned, but the ones that are pruned are dead. There's a lifting up. And that's what we're trying to do to you. We're trying to get you lifted up, trying to get you so that you can begin to produce fruit, so you're not those dead branches. Because I tell you, I don't believe any of you are dead branches, but here's the fact. If you're not producing fruit, you know what the devil tells you? That you're not even born again. That's what he tells you. You're not producing any fruit. Am I the only one the devil talks to this way? No. So if you're you and you're not producing fruit, but God wants to encourage you, and he wants you to begin to have kids. Now, so we're blessed with children. We're blessed with children. You need to say, I'm blessed with children. You might have a child that's being rebellious right now. It doesn't matter. You're blessed with children. And as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I tell you what, our kids are going to serve the Lord, period. Now, spiritually, we're blessed with children. Spiritually, we're having children too. Spiritually, now listen, guys. You would be taken to if you brought a bunch of children into your world, and you just let them go, and then you'd get them for, they'd get you for child abuse, unless you're the U.S. government. But I tell you something. When you bring somebody into the world, you're responsible to take care of them. Well, you know what? In one regard, you know, I guess it's a pastor's heart in me. I can still see their names. I see their faces and know their names of the people I've been leading to the Lord. And that's good, because they're not even near where they could come here. Really, but I have Lord Jesus, I'm praying for them.
I remember a man, some of you have heard the story. His name was Jonathan. He's a professor of Hebrew. I was praying, talking with him in Minneapolis. I still think of that, Jonathan. I still pray for him. You know, as the Spirit leads. But I'm blessed with children, and this congregation is blessed with children. We're blessed with spiritual children, and I tell you what, our kids are going to start coming to church with us. And they're going to serve the Lord. 30, 60, 100-fold believers. Let's race through this quickly. And he says, let him be accepted to his brethren. I tell you what, you ought to speak that, whether it's the union you belong to or the employees you're working with or your next time you go to a family reunion, you need to start declaring that out ahead of you. I'm accepted by my brethren. I'm accepted by my brethren. I tell you, my brethren are pleased with me. They're happy to see me coming. And I tell you what, that'll manifest in your life. And then he says, and dip his foot in the oil. And, you know, I thought, well, this has kind of evolved in my life, I thought, you know what? To stand in the anointing of Jesus, just to dip your foot in his anointing could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But you know what? He doesn't want us to just dip our foot in the oil. He wants us to stand in the anointing. And so for years, Lord, I thank you that when I get to that point, I thought, Lord, I thank you, I stand in the anointing. When I get ready to preach, I expect the anointing to show up. I expect the Word of God to be preached with power and authority. I believe it and I expect it. But you know what? The Lord wants us to go beyond that because Christ in me, the hope of glory. So now I'm not only declaring that I stand in the anointing, but I'm declaring that I'm living in the anointing and the anointing is living in me. You too. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. Next time you get stumped at school, ask the Holy Spirit. He knows the answers. He'll show you if you ask him, if you've done your due diligence. Would you downgrade a student at school if he asked the Holy Spirit to help him and he got the answer right? You wouldn't know either, but I mean, you know. But yeah, you might, because he might say. Okay, let's go on quickly, because we're going to close this out. And then he says this, there's none like the God of Jeshurun. There's none like, who is the God of Jeshurun? You can find it through a number. In chapter 32, it comes up three or four times in the scriptures all. It's a poetic name. It's almost like a pet name God has for Israel. And if you read it in the chapter before that, he's saying, oh, Jeshurun, oh, you know, my little darling, you were so full of yourself and you kicked against my presence and you kicked against me. So that's what it is. And I see such a great, if you turn over to chapter 32, but we don't have time to go there. He said, but Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. God says, I took such good care of you and yet you rebelled against my care. And then now he's saying this, though. He comes back, and chapter 32 is this chapter of God's judgment and the punishments that come on them for disobeying him. But now chapter 33 is so full of all these blessings that are coming on the tribes. And he comes back now as he begins to conclude. He's finished all the tribes, and now he just begins to talk about Jeshurun in general. And he's coming back now talking about that little pet name that he calls Israel, and he says, and there is none like the God of Jeshurun who rides upon the heaven to your help. He rides upon the heaven to our help. He rides on the heaven to our help. Psalm 79 says this, may the tender mercies of the Lord speedily come to meet our needs. If you're in need today, here it is, no matter how rebellious you've been, no matter how fat and you've kicked against God, God's blessed you and yet you've kicked against him and you said, I don't want you in my life. I tell you what, the God of Jeshurun will now come to your aid when you have need if you call on him. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, and he says, my little dear one, I'll come. It's like this, Daddy's coming. I don't know, can you see this? I can see it. the tender mercies of the Lord speedily coming to meet my needs. And I mean no disrespect to the Lord or to John Wayne, but every time I read that, I see John Wayne coming. You know, I just see it. I mean, coming to save the day. God wants to save your day. I don't know if it's a family situation or a financial situation or health situation, but he wants to ride to your help and your aid if you'll only receive him and allow him to do it. And then he just goes on. This is so great. I just better hang on to my pulpit and just go right through this thing. And then he said, I missed a whole verse. And your shoes shall be iron and bronze, and as your days are, so shall be your strength. How could I forget that one? Well, my shoes are like iron and bronze. You know what he said? Paul said this over in Romans chapter 15, I think. It's either 15 or 16. He says this: shortly God is going to put the devil under your feet. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, he said this. He said, I give you authority to tread upon all the scorpions and serpents of the devil. Get that marker and put down devil. Lucifer, whatever, under my feet. Jesus gave us authority. At some point, guys, you got to stand up and you got to say, devil, in Jesus' name, back off, get off my house. The scripture says, neither give the devil place. Well, we just need to start taking him from his place. If he's in your finances, take him from that place. If he's in your children's lives, take him from that place. If he's in your mind and your thinking, take him from that place. You have to do it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, I give you authority to bind what it needs to be bound and loose what needs to be loosed. You need to start with this, guys. You need to grow up. This is what adults do. No. In Jesus' name. So, okay, and then as my days are, so shall be my strength. Well, Mark, you got to get sick and die sometime. No, I don't. You don't have to die that way. Tell everybody, call your kids, tell them, Dad's going. Go when it's time. Full of strength, full of health. Well, Pastor, what if it doesn't happen that way? Well, I'll have tried. Why are you hoping I go sick? Isn't that what people do? Well, you gotta go, my brother. What if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it does? Okay. Well, Mark, I've had some health issues. You're making me feel bad. No, listen, guys, I'm trying to call you up. Listen, we've all had health issues. We've all had sin issues, huh? Thank God. Okay, then let's go on. Let's skip the God of Jeshurun. Listen, he says, the eternal God is your refuge. And we could go to Psalm 91 for there, couldn't we? My. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Thought, how can he come this way, but he's still here? Oh, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And though he fall, though he stumble, what's the scripture say? The Lord upholds him with his hands. And so maybe you've fallen. Maybe you struggled. Maybe you blew it this morning. Maybe you blew it last night. Maybe right now you're mad at me, so you've already blown it, but that's okay. God's hands are underneath you to lift you up, and he's going to get you on that place, and he'll hold you there until he arrives. I don't know how he does that, but he'll hold you in his hands until he arrives with victory. Okay? All right, now, see, all of this comes out of my confession. See, this is what you do. See how this turns into a prayer time? And this is what we're trying. Whatever it is, that one or two verses you declare will turn into this kind of an hour prayer time. You have to cut it short and come back. Oh, and then this is Israel, the Spencers shall dwell in safety alone. Inner court, Christ Church, my brothers and my sisters will dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of grain and wine. And the heavens will drop down dew. We're believing for this, aren't we? See, friends, this is how I don't have time. Lord, thank you. But thank you, Father, that in this church, their vats full of wine. Father, thank you that in this church there's plenty of grain. Lord, that means there's good jobs. That means, Father God, thank you for your provision over our families. Father, thank you that the homes are not in want, but in blessed and abundance. That, Father, that you're taking care of us and that there's this supply before us, enough for our families and enough so we can be a blessing to others. Do you see, friends, this is how we go. And the dew. I tell you, I am longing for that manifestation of his glory by his presence, by his power, and by his goodness. I want that dew to precipitate out. And I tell you what, friends, it's our faith that will precipitate that dew. Let's finish this up. Happy are you? Can you see if God does all this stuff, you'd be happy? Oh, speaking of happy, I tell you what, I can't. Jesus, would you please come back? Did you know there were some kids in one of the Middle Eastern countries got arrested because they were dancing to Happy? I tell you, that God of Islam is demonic through and through. Don't buy this stuff that there's a bunch of good Muslims. There are a bunch of good Muslims. But the root is evil. The root is evil. Happy. We'll take you off to jail for that. Tell you what, you ought to thank God for America. You ought to thank God for our liberty, and it's Christian liberty. It's not Muslim liberty. It's not humanistic liberty. It's Christian liberty. Okay, I'm trying to get through this. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like unto you, O people? Can you imagine when you're satisfied with favor, full with the blessing of the Lord, when God is upon you the way we've just gone through here, people go, whoa, you're to be envied. You're to, wow, you guys are so blessed. Why are you so blessed? Well, because I'm just really smart and I'm talented. Don't you dare say that. Because I'm blessed of the Lord. It's because God's goodness is on me. It's because God's care is upon me. And God wants to do it for you. That's what he's saying here. O people saved by the Lord. The shield of your help. Who is the sword of your excellency? Now here we come. Now it turns. And your enemies shall be found liars to you. Sickness, you've been found a liar to me. Checkbook, you've been found a liar to me. Rebellious this and rebellious that in my house, it's been found a liar to me. For the word says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now, please understand, sometimes we're not talking about talking to people that way. You get in trouble.
That's right.
I remember I taught years ago, and I'll close with this, I think. Oh, goodness. And taught about, you know, the devil stole something from you, he'd pay it back seven times. And somebody gave somebody that was believing, I taught that too, and they were believing, and God gave them a car, and they said, in front of the person who gave it to him, well, praise God, he made the devil pay me back seven times. The person said, I don't think so, and took the keys and walked away. I mean, so please be, you know, please be discreet, use discretion, and be wise. But I tell you what, our enemies will be made found liars to us. Whether it's about a child or a husband or a wife that's running, don't tell them, you know, don't, you know. Be wise when you're praying. In their presence, just love them. Just let that love soak on them. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. And Patty and Dwayne, if you'd come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, the book's closed. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you're blessed people of the Lord. You're satisfied with favor and you're full with the blessing of the Lord. You're possessing all the Father has for you to possess. You're blessed with children. You're accepted by your brethren. And you're standing living in the anointing of God. He's on you, in you. And I tell you what, his shield of faith is about you and in you and on you. And it shows up everywhere you go. That's just what's happening in this church. And this year, God's going to crown us. Listen, guys, Just as a church, we've seen about 350 people come to Christ. We saw this room full of about 120 people. This year's already been a great year, but he said, I'm going to crown the year. So get ready. You say, well, I haven't seen anything. He's getting ready to crown us. In a good way. So get ready for it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's sing.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.